Hello, good morning, Cornerstone. My name is Ho-jin. I am the director of the young adult ministry here at our church. Sorry, it feels a little loud. Yeah. And today I have the privilege of speaking God's word, and I've been praying all week, and God has been speaking to me in so many different ways, and I pray that you'll follow along with me and receive a lot of the prayer that I've been really wrestling with this past week over this passage. And over the past 5 weeks, we've been going through the sermon series called Covenant Affirmations. And they are six core beliefs of our denomination, which is the Evangelical Covenant Church. And as we've been going through these beliefs, we hopefully have seen that they're not unique to just our denomination. These are pretty much Christian beliefs in general, but specifically our denomination holds them as the core beliefs of the church. And they are the centrality of the Word of God, the necessity of the new birth, a commitment to the whole mission of the church as a fellowship of believers, and a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. If you missed any of these messages, they're all online, and today is the last one. It's the reality of freedom in Jesus Christ. The reality of freedom in Jesus Christ. And in some ways, I felt like this was the most ambiguous one. The most ambiguous one. The reality of freedom in Jesus Christ. Because when we think about freedom, we just think about, oh, we get to do what we want. That's freedom. We get to do what we want, when we want, who we want to do it with. That equals freedom. But what does the Bible say about freedom? What does it mean to be free in Jesus Christ? And it's a reality that we can experience right now. What does that mean for us today? And we might have heard this phrase, freedom in Jesus Christ, but what does it look like? How does it work out in our workplaces, our classrooms? And some of you here have finished your degree program and you're looking to start work or looking to start more school. What does that mean to be free in Christ as you pursue these things? So today's passage is going to be Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and we're going to jump around a little bit, but starting at verse 1, and then we're going to read 13 to 15. So Galatians 5, so if you don't have your Bible, please read along with me. Galatians 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. As I prayed this week, something that kept coming to my mind was that God wanted me to say explicitly that He wants to set all of you free. All of you free from whatever you're going through. Maybe it's sin that is in your life that you feel like you can't overcome, or maybe it's something that people have done to you, something that you feel stuck in. Maybe you feel like in your Christian walk you're just in the same place all the time. Or maybe there's a concept of God that you're having a hard time wrestling with and understanding and believing in. Today, God wants to set all of us, including me, free. And those of us who have been following Jesus for any amount of time, God wants to remind you that you're already free. Already free. And for those of you who do not know who God is, who do not know who Jesus is, God is both able and willing to set you free from whatever is going on in your life. So can I pray that for us right now? Father, we thank you that it's your word that has authority. Even the core belief of our denomination is the centrality of the word of God. And even, Lord, as I speak, I pray that my only confidence, my only claim is that your word speaks loud and clear. So, Father, use me in whatever way you need to. But Lord, do your redemptive work, please. Have mercy on us. And do the work in our hearts that needs to happen, Lord. And we pray that we would fully understand what freedom in Christ means according to your word, not according to our opinions or what we think freedom looks like in our culture, in this world. So Lord, we ask that you would do whatever is necessary, that you would be glorified, that you would be seen, and that you would bring greater praise to your name. We thank you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. So today, that's it. I'm just going to say, we have been set free. We just have to believe it. We have been set free. And there's three parts of being set free that I want to focus on. We have been set free by Jesus Christ. We have been set free by Jesus Christ from slavery. And we have been set free by Jesus Christ from slavery for freedom. So it's one sentence just broken down. We have been set free by Jesus Christ from slavery and for freedom. So first is, we have been set free by Jesus Christ. In verse 1 it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. Verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is the one who is doing the setting free. He is doing it through God who sent him and the Holy Spirit empowering him to bring true and lasting freedom to his people. So if Jesus Christ is doing the setting free, that means we don't do the setting free. We can't do anything to set ourselves free. There is no amount of good work, no hours of prayer, no number of quiet times, no amount of monetary giving that will set you free. Freedom happens to us passively. Christ sets us free. There's no part of that where we are contributing to that work. We are affecting that work. It's Christ sets us free. In Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. If we could, by chance, bring about our own setting free, I know that's awkward, but setting free, then we can boast. We can say, hey, look, God, I don't need you anymore because I figured it out. I saved myself. If there was something I could do, read the Bible cover to cover, and then I was set free, then why do we gather here? Why do we worship God? But if freedom is a gift, it's a gift of God, then we have every reason to believe in God, because he's the one who initiated, he's the one who actively loved us unconditionally before we could even process who God was. We have every reason to gather Sunday after Sunday to proclaim and worship how awesome, amazing, and perfect he is. So brothers and sisters, we have to take a minute and pause. Your relationship with God is only possible because God sent Jesus Christ to set you free. And the details of that story is that Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, he was reigning in heaven, he became nothing. And we've heard this, many of us, he was born into a feeding bowl, pretty much, for animals. He lived a perfect, innocent life, and then he died a criminal's, a terrorist's death. So not only did Jesus do the setting free, this setting free came at immense cost. So if our freedom is all God's work, and then it was this massive, infinite cost, how does that affect you when God wants to say, I have set you free. I am able to. I'm willing to set you free from whatever is going on in your life. Yesterday, I ate lunch with a couple of people, and there was a little girl a couple tables down, and the parents got their food, came back, and the little girl was staring at this baby carriage, you know? She was staring very intently, and then she looked up to her dad and said, "Daddy, is that our baby?" It was just right next to her table. She has no concept of where babies come from, so if it's near her parents, she was like, "Daddy, is that our baby?" And, you know, like, we're watching, we're like, "Oh, that's cute." Then I went home, and it just struck me because this girl has no idea, right, where babies come from, how much work it takes for the mom to bear the child. But one day, this girl, hopefully, she'll get married, have her own kid. She probably won't say, "Is that our baby?" It's like, "No, this is my baby. I went through the toil, I went through the pain, I went through the hard labor of raising my child." So there's a new or a different kind of gratitude, a different kind of understanding of what it means, a cost. So for our freedom, we can't just toss it around and say, "Yeah, we're free." It's actually, we're free because of the great cost that was paid by God, nothing that we can do. And there's nothing you can do or not do that keeps you from being set free if you believe in Jesus Christ. There is no sin that you can commit that will separate you from God. There is no deed so important that if you forget, your relationship with Him is ruined. And I think that's what grace looks like. That's what freedom looks like, to know that there's a God who loves you no matter what. No matter what you've done, what you've been through. Freedom that is completed not by us, given freely by God, but we can receive it undeservedly, but at the same time, worshipfully. So the application for the fact that Jesus set us free is that we have to remember this. We have to remember the cost. We have to remember what He did. We have to reflect on it all the time. Whenever we come to communion, we have to think about the fact that we're free because of what that table represents. So Jesus sets us free, and then He sets us free from slavery. And freedom is only necessary if we need to come out of something, right? Freedom is always from something. And according to the Bible, we have to be set free from slavery. Verse 1 again, it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul is saying, this is where you were, a yoke of slavery. A yoke was where the animal was pretty much attached with a wooden beam to another animal. They were stuck. Not only were they stuck together, they had a big plow behind it. And so that both animals had to go in the same direction, it had to do what the driver of the ox wanted to do. So Paul is saying we were in a yoke of slavery. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to Jewish people who started to believe in Him. And Jesus is saying, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And these are Jewish people. If you think about Jewish people, they were the chosen race. They are God's people. They are the only ones who got the law from Him. So the Jews listening to Him are probably thinking, "Hey, like, we're Israelites. We haven't been in slavery. Like, what are you talking about, Jesus?" But this is how Jesus responds. So the Jews say, "We are the offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" In some ways, they're saying, "I don't need to be free." And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And the fact is, sadly, that we're experts at sin before Jesus Christ. We're experts. We know what it means to sin. We know how to rebel against God. We know how to to mess up the image that he put in us. Anything that's in opposition to God and his will is sin. So until Jesus sets us free, we are slaves to sin. This year, as the One Love team is preparing for the trip to Mexico City, if you didn't know, we're going to work with a ministry that deals with sex trafficked females and minors. And this past Monday, a couple of us watched a documentary. And as I was watching it, I was like, my blood was boiling. We're at a little church, and I just wanted to like punch the pew in front of me. Like, I was getting so angry because I was seeing how just ugly this problem is. 27 million people, mostly females and children, are being trafficked. And in the process of learning about this, I'm just seeing that it's not just the sex trafficking problem. It's sin that begets sin and another sin and another sin, because it's people who want money. In one country, they send their daughters to prostitution. Then they get trafficked. They get sold for sex. And then that money gets used for organized crime, for drugs. And it's just a huge problem. And all I could think about after that documentary was how ugly sin was, how sin made me so angry. And again, verse 1, it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free." But Paul says, "Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Stand firm, do not submit again. Why would Paul say that? Unless there was a possibility that we can, even though we're free, we can live like we're in slavery again. Even if we're believers, we can live like we're in slavery because we submit ourselves to sin. And these commands are necessary because this is something I wanted to bring up, is that we have an enemy who wants us to be in slavery. The devil, the adversary, Satan, he wants us, even though we're free, to think that we're stuck, to think that we're trapped. It's like being stuck in prison. Someone tosses you the key to your shackles and your cell, and for whatever reason, you don't undo your shackles, you don't open your cell, you just stay there. That's what Satan wants. Even though you're free to leave at any point, the enemy wants you to stay there, right where he can just put you down, keep you down there. And in 1 Peter 5, this gets emphasized even more. "Be sober-minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But Peter says, "Resist him, firm in your faith." Just as Paul said, "Stand firm, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." So it's not just a Galatian thing, but it's an all church thing. The enemy wants to bring us down. But if we're really free, verse 13, it says, "You were called to freedom." In John chapter 8, 36, it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Indeed, you're free. So we need, the application for this part is that we need to commit to never turning back to slavery again. We need to develop a hatred for sin and the enemy because of how ugly it is. The great cost that freedom was bought for us to turn back. What are we doing? We're taking away the glory of that freedom that we've received so freely. And then lastly, we've been set free by Jesus Christ from slavery for freedom. For freedom. And in these two verses, we see what freedom starts to look like. In verse 13, "You are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the first thing we see is that what freedom must not be used for. It must not be used for the flesh. We must not use our freedom as an opportunity for our selfish desires to do what we want. And in the book of Galatians, flesh is always related to human efforts and human desires. In 1 Peter 2:16, it says, don't use freedom as a cover-up for evil. Don't wear it like a badge and say, yeah, I'm free in Christ, so I can do this and he'll forgive me. I'm free in Christ. He loves me no matter what, so I can get away with this. But whenever we experience freedom, it's supposed to be used for serving one another through love. And that word serve is actually the same root word as slavery. So one commentator translates it as, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but become slaves of one another through love. Like, Paul, what are you doing? You're using that word. It was negative that time, but it's positive here. And I think what God wants is for us to redeem the slavery that we have to ourselves, to our own sin, and all that effort that goes into that to redeem it, to bless, to love and serve others. And for me, like, this got me thinking, like, what then is the issue here? What is the issue? Then I just need to love and serve one another. Like everyone here, I need to love and serve. But one scholar writes this in a commentary. If you are a husband, you are free if you ask yourself, how can I serve my wife and make her stronger in the Lord? And if you are a wife and you ask, in what ways can I support and affirm my husband so that he is strengthened spiritually? This is what freedom looks like. And for anybody, we can all ask, how can I serve others in the body of Christ? What would the Lord have me do? What can I do with my life that will help others mature spiritually or bring them to faith in Christ? If you are saying to yourself, that doesn't sound like freedom, it sounds like slavery, then you don't know what true freedom is, because you are still enslaved to your own desires. You are still enslaved to your own desires. So how do we know if we're living in freedom or not? And this is where I think we need to continue reading in Galatians. Starting in verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So as free people, if these things are evident in our lives, then we're putting ourselves back in slavery. We are submitting ourselves to the yoke of slavery that Paul is saying, don't do. So what's the alternative? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It says, the fruit, singular, not the fruits, plural, but the fruit of the Spirit are these things. In terms of experiencing freedom, it's whether we are producing this fruit, in our lives. And as we say, like, hey, like, oh, I'm free in Christ, we need to understand that what Scripture does is gives us boundaries. So freedom is used to love and serve God and love and serve one another. So that's like the outside boundary. And what needs to happen within that boundary is this fruit needs to be coming up. It should be happening. It should be experienced. And I thought about, like, Adam and Eve, they had the entire Garden of Eden. Do whatever you want, eat whatever you want, but this one tree, don't eat it. One tree, don't eat it. And if we think on a human level, we can think, God, that's so unfair. Why one tree? Why can't you let them eat that one tree? But the fact is, that tree existed so that Adam and Eve can exercise faith and trust that God has something better in store for them, that in obeying God and not eating that tree, eating from the tree, that God would still be good to them, that he would prove to be faithful. So Cornerstone Church, do you believe it? Do you believe that you're set free? Do you believe that it's Jesus who sets you free, not anything that you do? And do you hate the slavery that you were once in? And do you want to be free to love and serve others? And for me, it's just one application today. It's just be set free. And what I mean by that is that we need to make sure that we're living out our freedom in the right way. So specifically, if you've been at our church, I'm going to tell you to do this. Find somebody who you trust, who loves God, and ask them, hey, in your honest opinion, do you think there is anything in my life that I might love God, I might love more than God? I dare you to do that to somebody. And if they love you, they'll be straight up and honest, and they'll tell you, do you think there's anything in my life that I might be more devoted to than God? Do you see the fruit of the Spirit in my life? And some of you already right now, I know that there's something that is enslaving you. You are stuck. And maybe you're unwilling to admit it, and maybe you're unwilling to share it. But in Jesus' name, I urge you to confront it, to throw away that slavery and chase after freedom. Let God do that work. Let Jesus do it. So after worship, the prayer ministry is here. I'll be here. I want to pray for you if you are stuck spiritually. God wants us to experience freedom in Him, to live for Him, to know His will, to love and serve those around us, to remember the cost, to never go back to slavery, and to go forward to the future where we'll be perfectly united with Him. Can we just spend a little bit of time together in prayer? Jesus wants to set you free from whatever is going on in your life. You don't have to come to Him perfect. You don't have to come to Him all figured out. Let Him do the setting free in your life. And pray that He'll remind you how precious it was that the Son of God became nothing, died on a cross. Let's pray against the enemy. Say that we do not want to be enslaved anymore. And that we want to live in freedom in a way that not only pleases God, but we live out the design, the will that God wants for us. And if there's a sin in your life that is keeping you stuck, just call out for help and ask God. ask God to let Jesus set you free. God, we just come before you and we ask that you would do whatever's necessary, Lord. And you're going to do a spiritual work, whether we see it with our eyes or not. But Lord, we ask that you would have mercy on us. Help us to hate sin and love you. Help us to hate the separation that we have with you and to desire adoption into your family, into your kingdom. Help us to hate the destruction that sin brings about and to seek out the life that you provide freely for us. And God, free us from the curse of death, the curse of sin, and help us to desire glory. Help us to desire eternity. Father, we need you more than we could even understand at this moment. So speak to us, Lord, in whatever way possible.